Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep your head to the sky. Shalom, family. We're once again at the Shabbat door. Got a few, probably about an hour or so for the Shabbat to come in, but we're here once again at Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ariel, bringing you the fifth installment into Hebrew culture, and we've been going through the journey of a breach in the spirit with the under title of mental illness, demon possession, and childhood trauma. We've been going through these for the last 5 weeks, maybe, hey, a little longer than that, at least 7 weeks. And my brother Shabbat sat in, my rabbi and Brother Yariel came in and did a show. So Yariel has been using all for the edification and for the healing of Yisrael, for the healing of Yisrael. Hopefully that has been therapeutic for a lot of us, and I know it has for me. I know I've been learning and coming to some understanding about myself and some things that have been going on in my mind and my spirit that I've allowed me to get out, and still have a journey to go. Still have a journey to go, and we will have distinguished guests on again tonight. We will have a brother and a sister. We will have Rabbi Yake L. We also will have Sister Akoti. Oh my goodness! I swear, family, I'm sorry, Sister Elior, but that COVID did something to my mind. I tell you, these brain farts getting worse. I'm gonna have to find me some vitamins for whatever that is. Thought me right there, and it just freezes. Don't like that, but keep my head to the sky and ask Abiyah to keep my mind free. Keep my mind free. Let me open up with a prayer before I get into talking and get into tonight's lesson. We'll be talking about grief tonight. The two panelists will be bringing out grief and how Abiyah has continued to bring them through and as they and the experiences of it, So let me open up with a prayer, and then I'll go into a psalm, and we'll read the psalm, and we'll get into the guests, and we'll have the guests introduce themselves. Abba willing. Hallelujah! 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 Once again, Abba Yah, for bringing us to the Shabbat door, Father. Thank you for all those who are listening, Father. May you continue to bless and keep them, Father, for all those who are here in the future, Father. The same blessings upon them, Father Yah. Abba Yah, for all those who are ailing in this world, Father, all those who belong to you, Father, and is on their way to you, Father, that you keep them, Father, that your mercy and your grace be upon them, Father, that you touch them, Father, that you touch Naomi, Father, that you continue to touch our brother Daniel, Father, brother Shalal, Father, and all those who are ailing. If I miss anybody, if I can, Amin Al, Father, and anybody else, Father, that you know, Father, that is ailing in any type of way, mentally, spiritually, physically, Father, that your mercy and grace be upon them, Father, that your healing powers be with them, Father. Send your Melakim Raphael, the healing of Yah, Father, to continue to comfort them, to continue to bring them closer to you, Father, and allow them to understand that you never leave them nor forsake them, Father. You're right there by them, by their side, Father. When they're there, when we're at our weakest, Father, that you're carrying us, Father, as the footsteps give us, Father, that they are your footsteps, your sons, Yahushua, who are carrying us through our trials and tribulations, Father. We thank you for Yahushua, Father, for laying down his life, Father, for making a way for us, Father, back to you, Father, for being that breach fixer, Father. Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Family, prayerfully everybody had a wonderful week. I had a kind of interesting weekend. It ended in a shebang, right? The day was real hectic. I mean, real hectic. And it almost had me to the point like, it's bad being a good, I won't say bad, It's not, can't even say that either. There's no way I can look at it and say it's not good, it's bad to be a good employee, right? Because it almost seems like for being a good employee, you get everything piled on you, and you got the ones over there who don't put forth an effort or have the care that you may care in your job. It's like the bosses see that, your directors and your managers, they see your work ethic, and they want to put more on you, in which the scripture does say that he won't put more on you that you can't handle. But it bothered me today. It did. It bothered my spirit all day long. Because the ratio was for the job I work at. I'm working with mentally challenged people, and 4 to 1. Now, there's people in there with one client. There's people in there with two clients. Maybe very few. I'm meeting about a couple of people with three. So they get a new client, and soon he get in there who they put him with me. And I'm like, hey, how was that? Because you worked well with him, because the time that he didn't have nobody, he ended up with me. But I'm volunteering my services because, hey, ain't nobody else working with him, so I volunteered. Didn't matter. And family, I'm being honest. That hurt me. That hurt my spirit today. And I know and understand that Abba Yah, he allowed these things to come upon us, right? He allowed stuff like that to come on us so we can get closer to him. And for me, I worried about what I'm going to talk about today. And all along, I didn't really worry about it. I just let Abba talk. I just let him come in and do what he wants. So he knew last night and coming up during the day that was him. So he, in my spirit, what I felt is he allowed that to come upon me. So I can't sit and focus. So it could be like all the rest of them organic, right? So when the questions come out, we do have 5 questions that we'll talk about today. We do have those. And we get into that a little later, but Abba Yah, he wanted to be organic, not nothing set in ways that you send out questions, so the realness can come out, the realness. And forgive me, Kim, I didn't even open up with the benediction. Forgive me, just ready to talk. So you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the Universe, who has sanctified us with His commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us His holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shalom once again, families. Forgive me for that. That was just on my mind, you know, today, because it bothered me, you know, sometimes. And it's never not a good thing to be a good employee. Yahweh tells us that. Be a good employee. Do the best that you can. I remember a story that my brother Shabba El said when he had to sweep the horse manure. He was the best horse manure sweeper up there. You know, I chuckled at that, but I understood what he meant by that. If I have a job to do, I'm going to have to give it my best, right? Give it my best. But it still, that don't take away that it didn't bother me. It didn't take away that my spirit wasn't vexed all day long. It wasn't until I got home and saw that the blessings that Abba Yah bestowed upon us last week, that we was able to go to a farm, and the farm was giving away a lot of free stuff. And got home, my wife, she had a nice little garden fixed up. We went and got the palace one day this week. And the dirt and everything, and that right there, to see the vegetables growing and to see stuff set up, like, thank you, Abba, for this blessing. Thank you, because truth be told, I probably would have never started the garden if Abba Yah wouldn't have jump started it for me, right? It was tomatoes already on the tree, peppers, 2 types of cabbage, 2 asparagus leaves, and just a regular mint leaves, and it, a whole bunch. We was able to get a lot. And hallelujah, Toda Abiyá for the blessings of this farm. And come to find out, this young lady started this farm all by herself 3 years ago. Remember them. And right in the middle of the ghetto, right in the middle of the hood, you ride up the street, and it's a nice farm. Nice, real nice. So that right there started lifting my spirit, and I was started talking to me because the fog was gone. The stuff was moved out of the way. The spirit that had lashed on me this morning, I was able to move it out of the way. And though I was praying and though I was talking to Father all day long, the spirit really wouldn't move. It really didn't move until I got home. And if you understand what I'm talking about, the spirit, is this a heaviness in within you, right? A heaviness in your spirit. You know, and I'm guessing I will allow that to happen so it can be organic, you know. It can be organic. But we will go through the five steps of grief, you know, and I will read these questions. And, I mean, not the questions, these five steps, and allow the panelists to go from there. And as we go and I will ask questions, we'll do that too. But I wanted to open up with the thought that he gave me in Psalms, Kelahim 34. We're going to read the whole chapter of Psalms 34. And for me, it ain't no coincidence that this chapter has 22 verses. You know, for me, that was that's confirmation for me as right now for Abiyá. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. And if you haven't noticed yet, I am reading from the WEBA. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahweh, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him radiant. Their faces shall never be covered with shame. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yahweh's angel encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Excuse me. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, hear Yahweh, you his servant, for there is no lack with those who fear him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek Yahweh shall not lack any good thing. You children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh, who is someone who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Yahweh's eyes are toward the righteous. Ears listen to their cry. Yahweh's face is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves those who have a crushed spirit. Affliction of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Let me read that one more time for you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall kill the wicked. Those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Yahweh redeems the soul of his servant. None of those who take refuge in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. And it didn't say some. just a little bit. It says many families, many, many days that we will be afflicted. Some that Abba will bring upon us himself, some that he will allow the enemy to do, and some we will bring upon our own self. But there will be many days of affliction. He will be right there in them all. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And without further ado, if Rabbi could introduce himself and we'll move on, and as and Sister Elior can introduce herself there on.
Shalom Lachem, Mishpacha.
Shalom Aki, shalom.
Well, my name is Rav Yakiel of the Yahweh Congregation.
Amen, amen.
I believe this. Oh.
I'll be able to wipe, I'm going down, get a drink. Just that I'm going to go holler early, and I'm going to take.
Sorry. I believe it's just to you all. I hit the wrong line. I thought it was hers, but I see hers is already open.
I'm about to say shalom.
Yeah, there she goes.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Sister Aliora of Beth Yahweh's congregation. Thank you for having me, Brother Aria.
Aloha. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing and being willing to open up. We are talking about grief tonight, and I don't know if anybody heard of Kubler-Ross model, the five stages of grief. And I'm going to read the five, and y'all will be able to pick out any one you would want to start with. The first one is shock and denial. This is a state of disbelief and numb feelings. The second one would be pain and guilt. The third one would be anger and bargaining. The fourth one would be depression. And the fifth one would be acceptance and hope. Acceptance and hope. And anybody could start who would want to start with. First of all, we want to put on why are or what have you been grieving about?
Well, personally, I have been suffering from grief from several things for a little while now. I'm grieving the fact that my son been incarcerated for the past 12 years, grieving for the loss of my youngest son, grieving for the loss of my wife, grieving for the loss of my job, you know. Been dealing with grief for quite some time, to be honest with you, you know, and in regard to the stages of grief, it's not really, even though they're numbered, it's not necessary that you're going to go through them in that order. And one of the things that I recall mentioning fairly recently is being on that emotional roller coaster, because that's what it's like. From being sad or from being angry. And even if you get to a point of acceptance, there's sometimes you can slip back into any of those based on the thoughts that you have, you know. And it's a difficulty, but one of the thoughts that the creator put on my mind, it's similar to what you were just reading, many are the afflictions, of the righteous. You know, I think a lot of times as believers, we have this mindset that coming to the Most High, things are going to get better. But not always the case. You know, things don't necessarily get better as far as our life experience. You know, things get better in regard to us being saved. Things get better for us in regard to having the Most High to help uplift us when we have difficulties. But we still want to go through the sorrows, you know. And the passage that the Creator brought to my mind was about the Messiah in Isaiah 53. And it says that he was a man, he would be a man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief. A lot of times you think about the Messiah and just focus on the goodness, but we can only imagine living the life that he lived and not being, and even in comparison to what we're able to do. There were some things that he wasn't able to do that we were able, that we are able to do. For example, to have a wife or spouse. You know, his task basically didn't allow him to do that. You know, so there's some things that as a man he was going through that many of us, you know, we just didn't understand. You know, but grief, and it's a tough one, you know, and it's not something that you totally get over. You know, you never really get over it. There's always going to be that residual sadness there. You know, and if anybody that has ever had their heart broken, and you know that feeling you get, feel like I don't want to say the pit of your stomach, because it's not really your stomach, but it's right in the right in the middle, right where your solar plexus is. It's right there. It's there. There's something that you feel right there. That's always going to be there. At some times, it may not be as intense at other times, depending again on where your thoughts take you. But that is there because especially losing a loved one. And one of the things that people have to, matter of fact, a few weeks ago when Sister Danielle was talking about, you know, becoming anxious just thinking about her parents passing away. Imagine the feeling when that loved one actually does pass away. And it's not just a thought that they're going, that they're gone. They actually gone now.
Yes.
Now that's a whole different ball game. You know?
And
it's a part of life. You know, it's not the best part. It's a very difficult part, but it's a part of life. It's a part of what we as human beings have to experience because we're going to have loved ones, and one of the things that we can't do, we can't rank it, you know, a loved one as a loved one. You can have a friend, for example, think about Jonathan and David, a friend that's closer than a brother.
Right.
And the loss of that loved one is going to hurt just as if it was a parent or a spouse or a child, you know. But that's what grief, I mean, grief, again, it's that pain. You know, that stuff, and I believe one definition, it's like an extreme anguish. And that's what it is.
Yes.
You're experiencing an extreme anguish. And a lot of times, grief is associated with loss, which is why I also mentioned Vidal, which I'm not too much worried about that as much, but it just piled on to what I was already going through, you know. But I'm going to stop talking, let them, you know, sister share. I don't want to take it too much time.
I would just interject that grief, looking at these five stages for myself, I did not experience them in the order that you presented them. I could have experienced some of them all at once or in a different order, or as Rabbi said, in waves, like it would come and go. And even now, still so many years later, It is.
Mm-hmm.
It will come to me, like you say, and it'll just tug at your heart.
Yes.
But you always have to remember that, you know, that hope and gratitude, because I think, you know, with my son, I'm just grateful to have been special human beings.
Yes, yes.
As difficult as it was, I can think about all of the qualities that he had that were just, he was just like light in a room. And I'm so grateful for that. Because I didn't have to be blessed with that opportunity, but I was.
And I'm
grateful.
Yeah.
It makes me sad to think about it right now, but I'm not always sad. Years ago, before I lost my son, and I remember this day very well, we were having service at Ahab Al's house on Wild Cherry, and I came in, and I was sad that day, and I felt Yahweh speak to me through Rabbi. He was just reading scripture, and it's part of our, you know, prayer liturgy now, that, you know, Yahweh heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Amen. Amen.
And I felt like I hadn't realized that quality of the Father until that moment. And from that moment on, because I've had very difficult times and very grievous events happen in my life since then. That was the moment when I knew, because I felt Yahweh speak to me, that I could take anything to him and that he could fix that for me in a way that no one or anything else could. And so my relationship with the Father grew in that way, in a way that I had not before, because prior to that, my understanding of serving him was just that, you know, obey and, you know, understanding the Torah and doing these things. That was when I realized that it was a relationship, you know?
Amen. The same way that
it could be with a, you know, a parent or a spouse or a friend, because then I started to understand how the Father was that to me, because I was still fairly early as a believer, if you think of the span of how many years I'm in now, but that was pivotal for me and something that I needed for my future that he knew that I didn't know.
Amen. And you say something that was so powerful just now. It's about relationship, right? Because most people, when they come to serve the Most High, is robotic, right? We can get into a robotic thing. We get up, go to Shabbat. We keep the Sabbath days. We do everything. All in our mind is to obey. Obey. Oh, because you hear that over and over again. Obey. Obey Yahweh. And this will be right. This will be right. But as Rabbi brought out a couple of weeks ago, he went into the book of Ecclesiasticus and how Solomon had to live life to learn all the wisdom that he had. It was a life experience that was able to bring Shlomo closer to Abba Yah, no different than us. Our life experiences bring us closer to Abba Yah to give us that concrete relationship. It removes the religious part of it, right? Because it's a religious aspect to it, quote unquote, but you move away from that, and he truly becomes Abba, Father, as Yahushua saw him. Yahushua didn't see him as some far part or far away entity that you just have to obey. No, Yahushua came to understand that this is a father-son relationship. This is a father-daughter relationship. And Abba uses our life situations to bring us closer in relationship with him. We all are thankful that we make it and get closer to him, you know? We all accept or come to that point of letting go. You really don't accept it. You just end up understanding that I have to let this go. I have to allow Abba Yah to be him. And somebody trying to get in on the line, forgive me, family, but I'm just going to ignore them. And something that happened to me when my mom died, I remember that. I remember that at the funeral, I didn't cry, really. I really didn't cry. And it took me a while to understand that my mother was dead. And I believe that was the denial part. That's the numbness part. That's the unbelief part. How did y'all deal with that? Anybody, Rabbi, how did you deal with that part? The disbelief or the numbness? Or did you even go through that? Because I've been through that with my mom.
I'm not sure where I am with Rabbi.
Okay.
So for me, with my son, I didn't have a denial period. Like, it hit me like a ton of bricks, like a train, because I understood the finality of it. And I didn't have a denial because I think I had experienced so much grief already. Like, you know, just like you, I grew up in Baltimore City, and starting probably from the age of 13, just losing friend after friend after friend after friend after friend. By the time I was 16, I didn't have any more fingers to count how many male friends I had lost, or to go down my block and up the other and point at a house where somebody I used to play with wasn't there anymore.
Yes.
So I understood the finality of it. What I had to understand, and I think Rabbi touched on it, learning that even though we are believers, we will still experience these things, because some of those things happened to me before I, you know, came into the way. And once I came into the way, you know, you sometimes get in a mindset that if you do certain things that it will be good, and it will be, but it won't always be good. Because, as you mature in the world, you understand why you have to have trials. And as you learn more in the word, you understand, you begin to understand the mind of the Father and why these experiences befall us, and how we get through them. So I didn't have a denial of it. But the finality of it was just, it put you in the shock. So, shocking, but never denial. Like, I knew that this is, I am a different person in my life. So that was my experience.
Amen. Rabbi, you, we got your back, Rabbi? And one thing that Rabbi, he also touched on earlier, too, that I do notice, and how that's a part of the five is the acceptance. And I'm guessing he you accept what happened, but you never forget what happened. You will never forget it. Never. And the minute or smallest things will remind me. I can hear a song in my mom. If my mom liked that song, it would take me back down memory lane, you know. Or somebody could say something, or a TV show could. I could hear somebody, all he had make us off behind. And for me, that was Mario's go-to when we was bad, right? All he had make us off behind. So if anybody ever said that, it's like the whole life experience that I had goes back through with my mother. And you get to a point where it's not like depression, but it's something like depression for me, because I try not to go in deep into the thoughts with my mom, because then I'm back in a cellie. I'm back hurting. I'm back going through the whole experience of a death, and it's been 27 years. 27 years, and it's still fresh like yesterday. I still can hear her voice like yesterday. You know, it's none of it. You lose nothing, unless you go dementia or something. You lose no memory. You lose no smell. You lose nothing pertaining to them. But because of Abba Yah, you're able to weather the storm. You're able to still move forward. And that was another question, is to be filled with so much grief. Right, and that's the question I'm also going to ask Rebbe when he come back on. How does you stand so much, right? Because all that he named, and as he was naming what he was naming, I'm choking up. I had to pull back and be like, all right, get yourself together. You can't be boo-hooing outright. Not now, but how do you stay together like so much? Because it's not easy. It's not easy, and not one soul would be able to just grin and bear everything. You mean, that's a lot. And I'm still trying to get my mind around it. He was naming a lot. And it was like my chest sinking in, and I'm thinking But it's amazing, the glory of Yahweh, how it will hold you up. I'm lost for words, actually, to be honest. And I don't want to be lost for words, but the glory of Yahweh is a wonderful thing. But speak to how Abba Yah continue to move you forward, because I know a lot of people have been through a lot less and put down for lack of better term, the cross. They put that cross down. They put the tree down. And forgive me for those who that offended, but I just want to bring home the thought and the true understanding of what a person can go through walking his walk when he say, pick up your tree, pick up your cross, and follow after me. And that is no easy thing. Speak to that, Aki. Speak to that, because I have no words for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Well, it's by the strength of the Most High. It's just that simple. You know,
amen.
Amen. And when I think about my life right now, and I look at it from the perspective, this is where we have to come to at some point, because outside of my relationship with the Most High. I hate my life. I hate everything about it, you know, and if I was to give a summation of my life particularly, it would be misery. And some people look and they wouldn't think that, but that's because right now what the Creator's doing with me is having me to be engrossed in His Word, and that's the only thing that's keeping me above water. So that's what I do. That's all. It's like he's all I've got, and it's something that I recall talking about this some time ago, as far as relationships, and we get so caught up on, you know, relationships with, you know, your spouse, your children, or whoever. But at some point, you're going to lose them.
Yes.
Those relationships are not, and they're not guaranteed. You know, you got people who say, well, that's not right. Or, you know, a parent should never bury their child. Well, the first death was a parent burying their child, so where do people get that idea from? Anybody can die at any given moment. So I say that to just encourage people to focus on their relationship with the Creator as being the most important relationship, because He ain't going nowhere. Like, like I think you just mentioned, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So that's the relationship. That's our focus. And that's what gets me through from day to day. You know, I was talking to him. It gets rough. I don't know where I would be. So to I would be the glory, because He gives me my strength. And I wouldn't be able to do it without Him. And people think that I'm strong. No, I'm not strong. You just don't know. You just don't know. But it's Him that gives me strength. It's Him that gives me a purpose. Because otherwise, there's no purpose outside of living to do what He has given me, given for me to do. There's nothing else.
Amen.
That's my life right now. You know.
Amen. So, Elior, you want to speak to that?
So, I would agree, and I stated that before. It's definitely, you know, the Father that just helped me through. And I really, a lot of people maybe don't know this, or at least I would think people didn't know this. But I suffer with severe depression. And I mean, like, severe depression. I don't know, by the grace of Yahweh, to get up and have to work because you know you still have kids or you still have responsibility or you have this. But I could lay in a bed for days and not move and not think and not speak to anyone. And, you know, and I've suffered with that kind of depression a lot in my life because of other grievous situations other than just my son. It was very hard for me. And I go through these spells now. I am recently in a kind of depression right now. And I guess, you know, you can present yourself to people as being happy, or, you know, you go out and you do things for people and you do things with people, but that inner person is suffering. So depression, and then the other piece of that is anxiety. So I have very extreme anxiety, and it just manifests itself in sleepless nights, you know, I have these kind of maybe extreme attachments to people, like, you know, just checking on people a lot, or, you know, being very concerned. You know, I like to know where everybody is. I like to know what's going on. And, you know, you think that you can control these things, but you really can't. You really can't. So then that's when you have to shift your mind back to the Father and know that I can only see what's in front of me. He sees everything.
Amen.
I can't change anything. He controls everything. And then we have to go back to where we trust him and trust his will for our lives and trust his will for the lives around us and know that all things work according to his will.
Amen.
And, you know, amen. So you have to keep bringing that back to mind, but it's not my mind, like my thinking. It's the Holy Spirit that counsels me in that way.
Hallelujah.
To help me bring my thoughts under submission. And that's it's a difficult thing to do. You know, but again, you have to submit. You have to allow the Father to work a work in you and with you. And that's not always easy because our human nature fights back. It's difficult, and I don't wanna make it seem like it's easy because it's not. It's hard.
Amen.
And you know, each year gets a little easier, but certain times a year I go on this thing where I, like you said, I relive those moments, like you said, when the days get to be a certain time, or when you know, when we have Sukkot, or when we do certain things, you know, it just, those days leading up to, you know, losing my son, they play over and over again in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you feel it coming, and then your anxiety and then depression, and then, you know, you get to that time period, but each time again it gets a little better and a little easier to cope with as well. So,
you know, just listening to your prophets and the people that we read about each and every week for the last, for me, 22 years, and forever long it been written, it gives me an insight, and hopefully for the rest of the listeners, an insight into their lives, you know, because their lives are no different than our lives. You see, Eliyahu loved his life all the time. And for a person that's out of the word or a new believer, that would be shocking to them to hear a rabbi or a spiritual leader that say he don't like his life. Like, hold on, you got a relationship with the Most High. You don't understand the life that we have to live is a ordinary life, no different than everybody else, but you try to submit to the Most High Yah. And you lean on him heavy, heavy. And that's the therapeutic that's coming out tonight, family. If we are listening to these prophets and prophetess speak as if we're reading Eliyahu. Hannah, the brother just read about when she couldn't have a baby. And the pain that she went through, the depression when the other woman would talk about her, the depression that was on her, living the word of Yahweh, like we talked about last week. And that's not easy. But Lazarus had to die for the glory of Yahweh. And so on and so on and so on. You think Moshe loved his life when he had to look over Israel? You think every day of his life he woke up and said, oh, yes, I'm so happy to got to be over top of these hard-headed, stiff-necked people, and you put me in charge of them. You think his life wasn't hard? You didn't think
that he didn't love his life at times, even at times, Hillel whispered in his ears, the devil whispered in his ears and said, you know what, you ought to go ahead and end it. You ought to go ahead and let it go. Too much on you. But as the brother, as the sister is allowing us a peek within them, we all have to do that. We all have to get naked because as a believer, it's not easy. We can walk around and people, some people probably say they never saw me frown. Hey, you ain't been around me all the time. And especially Yaakov, like nobody seen Yaakov really get mad or pissed off unless he's teaching. If he's not teaching, he's just this mellow guy. Ooh, just chill back, chill. And you mean to tell me all that he's dealing with in his mind by when he get by himself? Sister Elior? No, not Sister Elior. She don't get depressed. That sister always looking out for somebody else. That sister always trying to make sure somebody else is right. And I understand that part. That part where though you the one reaching out to everybody, you the one trying to make sure everybody else right. You know why? Because I do the same thing. I had to get back, and especially for my kids and my family, I had to say, hey, you know what, though? I'm going to have to let live life. I can't try to fix all your problems. And I know why I do that, a part of me do that, so I don't have to sit back and look at myself, because in my mind, the more I help them, the better I feel. The more I help them, the more I ain't got to focus on what my spirit is really going through, this heaviness. I ain't got to focus on that all the time. You know, I'm this certain person in front of people. I ain't got to be that person. And at point, we just got to let go and let Yah. You know every day we're not going to smile. No, every day is not going to be a good day. Yes, we get depressed. Yes. Think Yahushua stepped away every time just because he was so happy to be around Israel? He had to step away. Think of us when we're around people who vex our spirit. We're talking about the most holy HaMashiach. All this stuff around him, all his grief, all his affliction did not vex his spirit, and he had to just get away from Israel at times. Understand that. Vexation of our spirit really is. And it's just living in this world trying to be a righteous person. Of spirit at times. But I'm not going to talk too much. I'm going to allow the brothers and sisters to continue to talk. And yes, this is open. Somebody has something to add or they want to ask a question, by all means, call in. I believe Rabbi, I have the lines open for everybody if they want to call in. Anybody. If you want to call in, add something, speak to something, or ask a question, call in. Rabbi, you want to add to that?
I am on monitoring the phone line, so somebody else wanted to jump in there, sure. But something that the sister was just talking about in regard to the going around people and doing different things, you know, and it's like when you leave somebody. And I wanted to, I was talking when the shock and denial thing came up, but I think something was wrong with my phone. I had to hang up and call back in. But
okay.
When it comes to, there was never a prayer where I could deny it, and be just like she was saying. It's like those, and matter of fact, that's like you were just saying. I mean, you can remember these things just so clear. Even, I mean, and just to take it even further back, and I think this is one of the first big losses that I personally experienced in my life was when my grandfather died, and my sister and I, we were actually just talking about this a few weeks ago, and I remember that day clear. Mm-hmm. I remember I was on a trip with the Boy Scouts. I was coming home.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my sister running down the steps and meeting me when I was walking up the street and telling me that my grandfather died, and then I just took off running. I threw my gloves on the ground and just started running, you know. I remember that real clear, you know. I remember all of that. I remember what happened as far as finding out my grandmother died. I remember the day my mother died. You never lose these things because these situations are so impactful to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say, too, when she was talking about, you know, you go around people and you do different things, and I know that everybody means good when they got off you the condolences, they're sympathetic, mm-hmm. and, you know, call me if you need anything, call if you want to talk about anything. But the truth of the matter is we are alone. We're not alone in a sense like separate from the Creator, but in this experience, we are alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I, when we come around people, for that moment, it's a distraction. But when I go back home, I'm going back home to a situation nobody else going back home to. Everybody else going back home to their life as normal. But when you lose somebody, you're not going back home to a normal life. You're going back to something being missing. And there's always that missing part. And I do know and I understand the Creator can replace that. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, the Creator doesn't do that. That's why I mentioned what I said earlier. I wouldn't be able to continue on this way if it was not for the Most High. He's the one that gives me the strength to do this, you know, to persevere. Otherwise, I would have gave up. I mean, I've had many conversations with the Creator. And I talked to them just like I'm not talking to y'all. You know, but, excuse me, it's just the, these stages of bargaining, right? And I don't know about the bargaining in the sense that, well, if you do this, I'll do that.
Right.
Because if there's nothing that can really be done right now. But what I often go through and tie right back into this roller coaster of emotions, this is where sometimes the adversary steps in on me. Well, why couldn't I have a good, strong family like some of these other people out here? I'm talking about like people in the world. Because the adversary, he gets you thinking that way. You know? And you got people, they their children grow up safely. You know, one of my coworkers always comes back telling me something about his daughter. And in my mind, I'm like, ugh. You know, I congratulate him, you know, everything like that. But how I feel inside of somebody tell me something like that is just like, why couldn't my family be that way? Why couldn't my children turn out better and become, you know, more successful? And I'm not even talking about success in the sense that, you know, making a whole bunch of money, but that's moving forward and having a more positive opposed to all of this negative. This is the stuff that I wrestle with, you know. But what I understand about it, what I help to understand, it's not like you come to this understanding on your own. No, the Creator helps you see these things. And what he helps me to see, these are this is how the adversary works. We think about spirits. Spirits work by way of thoughts. And they talk to you. Sometimes when you hear their voices in your head, those evil spirits are. It's not just you thinking about it. These evil spirits, they start to talk to you, and they get you on this mindset, and you start ruminating on these things. And if you pick up on some people like to call it frequencies, you know, there's a lot of truth that's circulating in the world. But what we simplify it as is that's what we call it, a spirit. So these spirits, they talk to you, and they give you these thoughts. And once they get you on that thought, they don't have to talk to you anymore because they got you started thinking the way that they wanted you to think.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start thinking that way, like the sister was saying, now you get into this emotion and it starts to bring you down and you're feeling bad and you just don't know. I mean, there have been many nights of, like she was saying, being depressed, you cry yourself to sleep. That sometimes, I mean, I woke up crying
because
it's like an ongoing battle. Even when you sleep, these things, it's in your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
To the point sometimes you can't even sleep. because it's on you and it's weighing so hard and weighing so heavy on you, you know. But what Abba had to help me to do is to have, you really have to stop thinking and allowing these negative thoughts to permeate your mind to the point where this is all you're thinking about. And up until I started doing that, that's why I had to get right back into that word. And that's what that's where our strength comes from. That's where our power comes from. Like the sister was saying, by his spirit, that's the only way we're going to maneuver through a lot of the difficulties that life is going through our way. And it's like, it's just life. Everybody loses somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you, it's like when you lose somebody that's so close to you, and like she was saying, the shock of it all, man, can you imagine me waking up and not being to wake up my wife?
Mm.
And having to relive that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I dreaded that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she talked about it. And she knew something was going to happen because she talked about it so much. And I just did not want to talk about that. But I was going to help her to see something because she showed me stuff that she was aware that something was going to happen. She went as far as there. She felt like she was going to die soon. I wasn't trying to hear that. I wasn't going to talk about that. But when it happened, can you imagine if I could depict this by some like animation, it's like my inner being just was ripped apart. That's how I felt. Just tore me apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same, with my son. I was on the phone with my wife because she was trying to reach him. I was trying to reach him. Couldn't get in contact with him. I took my lunch break. So I got, because he's on the same plan as us. So I, find the iPhone so I could find where he located. I drove there. Mm-hmm. She was there, already there. And being on the phone and hearing a police officer tell my wife that the person driving that car didn't survive. Can you imagine you hearing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm.
My baby boy.
Mm. No.
It's not. You know? But again, like Sister said, by Abba's grace, by his mercy, he gives us the strength that we need to persevere to keep pushing forward.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to speak to that, Sister Alior?
I do. Well, one of the, and I guess this is kind of going in a different direction. One of the things that I think will also kind of send me into a spiral is, like you say, the guilt and. What Rabbi was saying about, why my family, why is this happening to my family? Why couldn't we be this or why weren't we able to be that? You know, and I also have experienced those types of feelings, like just feeling guilty as a parent, especially because of the circumstances, and just feeling like I failed, like feeling like I failed the father, and feeling like I failed my children, and feeling like I failed my family. You know, just thinking like these souls are trusted to you, and you try to do the things that you think are right and the right things to do, And I know I did everything that I knew to do, but to feel that, well, you did whatever, but that wasn't good enough. And now this is the result of your ineptness as a parent, or, yeah, you did all these good things, but what about that thing you did over here? This is your punishment. Like, And like Rabbi said, you know these thoughts are just evil spirits, you know, trying to overtake your thinking, but you know, the adversary uses guilt and shame and things like that to keep you in a dark place.
Yes.
And you know, I find that those kind of thoughts can overtake me as well, just like I should have done better. I should have done more. You know, just like feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
And that's really, that is something that is hard to erase.
Yeah.
It really is, even though, you know, I feel that I've done my best, but still, you know, thinking your best isn't good enough.
Yes.
And that's a very, it's hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, things don't turn just for no reason. I believe in God and everything begins something 3 years back. Well, maybe last year, I believe, I was telling you about Mac and her belt with depression and how she was, every time she'd get to that point, I don't know, was it a threat or just the thoughts that were coming in her mind about her committing suicide, you know. And you told me something, because after a while, she knew that would get me to the point of giving in and giving our weight. And you told me that you can't give in. You can't be afraid, you know, because here lately dealing with my oldest, Shawnee, and questioning my own parenting and my own, how did I parent it this way? Was it too hard? Was it this, that, and the other? And that helps me. You know what? I did the best I could. I did the best I could. They didn't grow up in a verbal abuse home, or they didn't grow up into a physical abuse home. I gave them the best. And sometimes you got to go with that. And every time I used to get to that point, I could still hear you. You cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid to tell them no. You cannot be afraid, or because they mad at you, to be guilt tripped. And that's what I've been going through with my oldest. He's like, hey, you know, speak to me in about 2 weeks, but that's another story. And I'm not mad at that. Hey, I did the best I could as a parent. I went out there and I worked 5 days a week. I did the best. I put food on the table, lights on it, and you ain't had to worry about none of that. Did the best. And your advice helped me with dealing with my child going through the bout of depression and going through just contemplating suicide. You know, and
that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit counseling. Because, again, our minds will think you didn't, and you didn't do enough, and you whatever. But the Holy Spirit's going to speak truth to you.
Amen.
And we have to receive it, because you know you did. Like you said, I know I did, but you second guess.
Amen. Because I know it's time that I didn't have lunch, but they ate. My kids ate. I went hungry, but they ate. So, but they always had a meal. Every day they had somewhere to come home to. They had lights, they had clothes, they had shelter, the basic necessities. So you have to.
And even when you had to discipline them and be tough, we know the word tells us to do that, but the world will make you think that it's wrong.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. You want to speak to that, Rebbe? anybody, we're not going to be here on my family. If nobody wants to call in, we're not going to be on here all night, and I'll give y'all two closing remarks, and we'll close out with one last chapter verse, and that will be it, if anybody don't want to call in.
Well, like I was saying, I agree with her as far as the guilt, you know, and for the same purpose, you begin to question whether or not, you know, you did the right thing. And my wife and I, we had, you know, many discussions like that about what we could have potentially did different to make things turn out, you know, better based on our perspective. But who helped us, I believe, is one day we had a, you know, conversation with my son, Abram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hearing it from one of your children's perspective helped you to see things differently. And that was a help to me. I believe it was a help to her as well. But one of the things that he said, he didn't consider us to be bad parents. You know, mm-hmm. But what he said is that we, talking about him and his sister and his brother, we made choices.
Amen.
We chose to do whatever it is that we chose to do. It wasn't necessarily based upon something that we did or didn't do. And that made me feel a little better, you know,
Amen.
Because as a parent, and like the sister was saying, I think that's the first thing you do is to blame yourself. And I believe that I may have talked about this before, too, in regard to even being the head of a congregation. How in the world mm-hmm. can I be a head of a congregation when my household is in disarray? My children is not really doing what they're supposed to do, you know. But then Alba had to strap me with a dose of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he said to me, so it's like, what you saying about, what you saying, I'm a bad father now? So, of course, who's going to say Alba's a bad father? No, he's a bad father. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Alba's household is in disarray. He got some sons
yeah.
who decided they
mm-hmm.
wanted to do what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean he was a bad father because they chose to do something contrary to what he instructed? No. It's again, the adversary, like the sister was saying, get you to think in a certain way. That's to keep you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's where we have to go back to the word, rely on that word. And a lot of times people, they, you know, you look at the, like you mentioned before, the thieves and the thieves. And that's what throws a lot of people off, the thieves and the thieves. And they don't really
mm-hmm.
understand that in this word, all we are learning about is day-to-day living. We're learning
Amen.
About life situations. That's what he put that history in there for. Not just so we
mm-hmm.
can have a good bedtime story to read to the children. No, we're supposed to look at these stories, and now that's why it takes somebody that he opens their heart and mind to explain this stuff to, so that they can now explain it to everybody else. No, these stories are there for us to learn. When we read about
Amen.
The difficulties that Cain had, when we look at that, you know, he's letting us know that there's a spiritual struggle that you want to go through, and we have
mm-hmm.
to overcome that. You know, we'll give you the tools. Let me tell you, if you do what I'm laying down for you to do, you can overcome it. But the problem is, we just don't want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
mm-hmm.
we're human, and we resort to falling back on how we as physical beings will handle things. And when we put our hands in it, that's when we mess it up. No, allow our word to be what it is. You know, and that's what we have to do. You know, and that's the hard part. You know, and that's where, you know, when it comes to grief or loss, having to rely on that word. And there's a period of time that he's going to give you where you're going to be out of it. You're going to be destroyed. If that's what you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I believe,
mm-hmm.
again, he allows that. He knows what you go through. But during that time, you know, different things that people do. You know, just, hey, brother, shalom, how you doing? Hey, sister, shalom, how you doing? Just, I didn't want anything. Just call and shout you out, see how you doing, you know?
Amen.
hey, I'm doing all right, taking it one day at a time, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm not, one of the things that I've been saying, how you feel, I'm good at the moment. Yeah, I'm good at this right now. I'm all right. I'm good at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
Maybe later on in the day, I may not be as good as I am right now, but at the moment, I'm all right. You know, so I appreciate you, you know, checking and asking me how I'm doing, and that's just the reality of it. But as we continue, and I believe the sister said this too, it does get better. It gets better. But in getting better, it gets better, and that's just, this is where you're moving into, you know, this is, that's what my life going to be from now on, and I got to deal with it. There's nothing else I can do, you know. I can't undo anything that's been done. So it's like you get to the reality check. It's like, this is what it is. What am I going to do with my life from now on? So you have to make changes. You have to adapt. And that's one of the things I would be helping me to do. My life has to be restructured. So I have to, and you know, something else too to cross my mind. And you know, people, being married for as long as I've been married, I've been married for 31 years, but we were together for like 35 years, you know. But it's like, that's so, I mean, and we got, I mean, I'm 18 when we started. We both are 18 until I talk. So, I mean, we was children, according to the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all I knew was being with somebody. Now Abba want me to learn to be by myself. And that's hard. Because I'm so accustomed to being, coming home to somebody, waking up to somebody, talking to somebody throughout the course of the day. Well, people say, well, you can call me. It's different when you talk about a spouse. That was my best friend. I can't talk to anybody. But we had to come to a point where I had to become vulnerable to her and vice versa. You ain't going to find a whole lot of people you can do that with.
Right.
You know, I can tell her things, and I don't have to worry about her judging me and vice versa. And finding that it's all I have right now is the Most High. So, hey, it's me and Abba talking. You know?
Amen.
But it's a time for me to really work on what he wants me to be for him. And that's where I am right now, you know. That's my life. And it's not a bad, I mean, like I said, outside of that, my life is miserable. But when I'm connected, I'm all right.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm all right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, Rabbi, me and Brother Hall, we had a conversation one time. And that's another misconception about a believer, is they believe, or we may believe, that we're walking around connected to the Most High 24/7. No, it don't work like that. You're not, your mind is not on him 24/7. You know, there's times that, and if lack of better terms, we disconnect and you live in life.
Right.
You know, and it ain't until that, hey, you spend some time with me, no different than you would spend time with your wife or with your children.
Yes.
You have to spend that time with Abba Yah too. We don't walk around connected to Abba Yah, you know.
And just add to that, because we're physical.
Mm-hmm.
We're still part of the physical world. And I remember something that Rabbi, and I'm sorry to cut you off, I just want to, before I lost this thought.
That's all right.
I remember something Rabbi used to say, not to become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good.
That's right. That's right. That's
you
right.
know, we don't live our lives walking with our heads in the clouds. No, we don't do that. Because we still have to do regular things, what people may refer to as mundane things. That's okay. Like, every so often, I'll watch a movie, I'll watch a TV show, you know?
Right, that's right. That's right.
But
that's right.
Outside of that, my point was saying, maintaining, like you just mentioned, that connection with him every day, doesn't mean 24/7. Mm-hmm. Hold up, brother. Oh, the world say pray without ceasing. We pray without ceasing when we're praying throughout the course of the day. That don't mean praying nonstop. That means keep your lines of communication open with the Creator. That's all. And we all supposed to be.
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
So let me stop. Sister, I want to ask you things, my brother.
Amen. Sister Alior, you wanted to speak to that?
I guess, you know, as we are getting near to the end of the conversation, I just want to add that, you know, Yahweh is good and He is
Amen.
Worthy to be praised and, you know.
Hallelujah.
He is the one person that we could just put our whole heart in His hands and
mm-hmm.
He will love us unconditionally and, you know, take care of us and provide for us and you know, I'm grateful for
Amen.
All the experiences that He has given me, the good and the bad. Because I'm learning as I mature as a believer and in my relationship with Him of the importance of that and you know, learning His word and learning to trust in His word, you know that this is just a moment and there's something
yes.
beyond right now.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
where we put our faith
mm-hmm.
that, you know, His word doesn't fall to the ground. It's true.
No.
And we can trust
no.
in it. So I know that there's
yes.
a greater good that comes beyond what we see and know and experience at this moment.
Yes.
So,
Amen.
You know,
Hallelujah.
I would just
Hallelujah.
Extend that to anyone that has grief, you know, and not just from like a loss of a child or a loved one, but, you know, even like a loss of a relationship or all those kinds of things, because we're all going to experience that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But we those things that we know in our lives that are temporal or for a moment,
mm-hmm.
we know that
mm-hmm.
Yahweh is forever and always, and we can have them.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Can put our
Amen.
All we can put all our chips on that.
Hallelujah.
And every time. Every time.
Hallelujah.
So that
Hallelujah.
That is my strength and that keeps me going. And I pray
Hallelujah.
That, you know, even in my times of weakness, that I can bring that for someone else. Because my
Amen.
Weakness, my weakest times are just moments. But
Amen. Amen.
My stronger times are more, and they're from
Amen.
And
Amen.
So if I could share
Amen.
That with anyone, I would share that.
Yes.
And I'm just grateful.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It makes me think about
Amen.
My expectations, right? My expectations, no matter what I'm going through right now, but my expectations. Of the afterlife, I know is 100 times more greater. My salvation, I know is 100 times more greater. Rabbi, you want to have some closing remarks before we close out?
Sure. It's what I was about. I keep us again for allowing myself and the sister to
Hallelujah.
Know, share some of our experiences on the broadcast. And not a whole lot, just to Abba be the glory and I just pray that everybody, you know, stay grounded in His word. And when you have difficulties in life, don't be afraid to turn to Abba and pray without ceasing. Because He does hear you.
scripture says that what reaches him is that broken and that contrite heart. Sometimes in our lives when we have to go through periods of grief, it's to get us to that point where we are willing, able to accept him as he wants to be received.
Hallelujah.
So that being said, Shalom, Ms. Bakar. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Ta-da. Once again, I'm gonna read Hazan, Revelations 21, 1 through 7, family. I want to close out with this thought in our mind. I also want to thank Abiyah for allowing the brother and the sister to come out and just be naked, to give us some therapy and whatever we may be going through and give us hope. I don't care what it is. He can give us hope. We can hope in Yahushua that tomorrow will be better than today. Revelations 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, behold, Elohim's dwelling place with people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and Elohim himself will be with them as their mighty one. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first thing had passed away. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write for these words of Elohim are faithful and true. He said to me, I have become the Aleph and the beginning and the end. I will give freely to him who is thirsty from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes, I will give him these things. I will be his mighty one, and he will be my son. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Benediction, family. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah! Shalom, Yisrael. Abba Yah, I want to thank you once again for allowing your son and daughter to come and share their word with us, Father, for being the open book, Father, for allowing a part of the book, the part of the Torah, to continue to be read, Father. Because we read more of your words tonight through our brother Yaka'el and our sister Elior, Father. Because you said that each and every day in our lives, things are written down about us, Father. So their books were opened tonight, Father, the book of Rabbi and the book of Elior, Father. We ask and pray that for those who listen, Father, healing take place, Father. We ask and pray that a continued healing for Rabbi Yaka'el and for Sister Elior, healing take place, Father, that when they get those dark times, Father, that as they have been doing, that you send Yahushua and send a mighty angel immediately there, Father. Let us not be alone in our sorrow times, Father, but as those are used for to get closer to you, Father, we thank you for that, Father. And Father, I ask and pray for all those in Yisrael and Beth Yahweh, Father, who is ailing in any way once again, Father, that you uplift them, Father, and remove those unclean spirits for those whispers, Father. As they whisper, Father, you speak loudly in our spirits, Father, that you speak through your son, Yahushua, to rebuke those unclean spirits, Father, and remember that we have the power that you gave us, Father. Father Yah, in your holy and precious Son name, I pray and ask for forgiveness of our sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, for mine and for my household, Father. for my brothers and sisters, that that's Yahweh, Father, for the nation of Israel, Father, that you forgive us our sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Of a man who takes what is not his, leaving in his way a broken woman and a man who hates enough to kill one by one. Somehow we come to that need, and in desperation some pray thy kingdom come, pray thy will be done. Side by side we watch this picture even as it grows beyond the screen. Most of us hurting for the victims, but for some of us it's more than just a moving scene. As one by one we become all too aware of what that truly means, and instead of taking guns we embrace the morning sun. Let thy will. Upon a hill.